so much, Valerie. Amen. Let's give her another hand. Amen. Amen. Dr. Jones, I see why it's easy for you to preach on Sunday. If you sang it after that, man, amen, amen. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Amen. Given obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to my friend and my brother beloved, Dr. Roberts, to the faculty and the staff here at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, to all the students and all the guests who come from near and from far, I'm indeed delighted and excited because I have been invited to be here with you one more time. I praise the Lord for what God did on yesterday and trust and pray that you were blessed by the message, that you were blessed by what God did on yesterday, and just praying that God would do something again today as we've asked him to do. This is campus revival. Dr. Roberts called me, and Leah called me on Dr. Roberts' behalf and said that he wanted me to come and share and be a part of the campus revival. And I eagerly said yes because of my love and friendship for Dr. Roberts and what he's done here at Midwestern. But also, I love preaching. I love doing what God has called me to do. And I thank the Lord for this privilege and opportunity that he's given me to be in this place and to share the word of God. Be in prayer with me and for me and for my family back home in New Orleans. As Dr. Roberts told you, I am married to a wonderful woman of God. Elizabeth and I will be married this coming October, be 25 wonderful years. She is the love of my life, the apple of my eye, my prime rib, my good thing. Amen. And I praise the Lord for her. And as she is just a Jew, I tell people everywhere I go, ain't no woman like the one I got. Amen. And I mean that. She's a joy in my life. And she sends her prayers and also pray for our son, Chip, who's a student at Dallas Baptist University. And Dallas, he's preaching, been preaching now a year and a half. And also our daughter, Kimberly, she's a senior at Sanford University in Birmingham, Alabama, in elementary education. So please be in prayer with them and be in prayer for them. Somebody asked me yesterday, said, Brother Lulu, why do you preach so fast? And so I need to explain that. When I first got saved, God immediately, Dr. Roberts, gave me a burden for the people in my community. As I say, I grew up in the hood of New Orleans. My mom and dad was divorced when I was 6 years old, so I pretty much raised myself. I was a street punk. I was a street kid. And when I got saved, I had such an excitement and fire for the Lord. I wanted everybody in my neighborhood to get saved. I wanted Butch and Tejo and Coon and Bubble and Black, all my partners and homies and all those guys. And so every Saturday at 12 noon, us to walk, I would be preaching on different street corners of the Lord Night Ward, just sharing the gospel, Pastor Jones, of Jesus Christ to those individuals. And so when you're preaching on the street corner, folk are not sitting still like y'all sitting here this morning. People are moving fast and quick, so you got to say it fast and quick, you know. And so once I came into the church, Dr. Jones, I never learned how to slow it down. So if you don't get it, don't ask somebody, because they're going to try to get the tape, press rewind, and hopefully you can get it by then. Amen. So I just needed to explain that. Well, turn your Bibles with me this morning to Psalms 143. Psalms 143, as we share today in the Word of God. On yesterday, we looked at Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. And we mentioned about the fact of how to revive dry bones. Because ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, all of us, Brother Jim, have those times in our life. We have those dry seasons. We have those tough times. We have those times when trials and tribulation and the difficult times of ministry get the best of us. And sometimes we go through many times, Charlotte, of dry seasons in our lives. And so it's good for us to know as believers how to make it through those times, how to revive dry bones, because they can be revived. God asks Ezekiel to preach up, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, yes, Lord, they can live. But as we talked about yesterday, if dry bones are going to be revived, we mentioned four things that must happen. First of all, dry bones must realize that they're dry. Number two, dry bones must hear the word of God. Number three, dry bones must respond to the word of God. And number four, dry bones must be filled with the Spirit of God. And we saw that yesterday when those four things happened to those dry bones. The Bible said, Dr. Jones, that those bones got up and stood like an exceedingly great army because of what God had done in their lives. Today I want to look at another familiar passage of scripture in Psalms 143. Psalms 143. This is a passage of scripture that will really, when I first started meditating upon it and preparing, I was blown away because here was one of God's choices. Here was one of God's leaders. Here was one of God's chosen individuals who was a leader of the children of Israel, who was a king, who was someone that was out on the forefront, someone that others looked up to and admired, but he went through a dry time in his life. And here, Dr. Henson, in Psalms 143, David is crying out to God for revival in his life, Valerie, because of all the things that were happening in the life of David. So I want to share with you this morning, Psalms 143. For time's sake, I'll only read maybe the first few parts of verse 1, then all the way to verse 11 and 12 because of our time on this morning. Look what the scripture says. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. Verse 7, answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Verse 11, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. Our Father and our God, Master, we come this morning. As we come, we thank you and praise you for the privilege and opportunity that you've given us one more time to be here at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation by Dr. Roberts. Thank you for his heart and his trust and his confidence in me, God. I thank you for all that he has meant in my life and in my ministry. God, we thank you for the music that has been shared with Dr. Henson and the praise team here at Midwestern. Thank you for Valerie from Second Baptist, God. Thank you for Pastor Jones, God. Thank you for all the brothers and sisters, the students, the faculty, and the staff who are here today. Now, God, bless this time of preaching. As always, Master, let me decrease as you increase. Father, let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. To the end, God, that you may be glorified, that the saints of God may be edified, that Satan may be horrified, and all sinners will come to repentance. And Master, when it's all said and done, so we're careful to give your name all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and for a second again, let the people of God say, amen. Verse 11, David said, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. The time that's been allotted to me this morning in this second day of this chapel service, we want to preach this morning from the subject, a cry for revival. A cry for revival. My brothers and my sisters, we don't know when it started. We just know it just happened. We couldn't tell you the minute, we couldn't tell you the day. Leah, we couldn't tell you the hour. All we know that it just happened. Sister Walker, we're not sure if it was last month, if it was 2 months ago, or even 6 months ago. All we know and realize, Al, that it just happened. We're not sure, Pastor John, Dr. John, we're not sure the day of the week, the time of the month, of the season, of the year. All we know that it just happened. Brother Jim, we're not sure how it happened. We're not sure when it happened. We're not even sure why it happened. All we know that it just happened. And the thing that happened, my brothers and my sisters, is that somewhere along the line, you and I became spiritually dry. Somewhere along the line, somewhere in our walk with God, somewhere along our Christian journey, somewhere along the time when we got saved, to the time that where we are right now, somewhere along the line, you and I became spiritually dry. We lost our passion. Somewhere along the line, we lost our passion for the Lord. We lost our passion for ministry. We lost our passion to do the things that God has called us to do. Somewhere along the line, we became spiritually sapped. Somewhere along the line, we became spiritually dehydrated. Maybe we lost our focus. Maybe we misplaced our priorities. Maybe we tried to do too much. Maybe we tried to handle everything by ourselves. Maybe preachers, we had too many irons in the fire, and now we find ourselves spiritually dry. Yes, you got your learning, but your burning went out a long time ago. And somewhere along the line, you became spiritually dry. Maybe someone you trusted let you down. Maybe someone you loved didn't love you back. Maybe someone played with your feelings and played with your emotions. And you find yourself here this morning in this second day of chapel, spiritually dry. Maybe sickness attacked your body. Maybe fear attacked your mind. Maybe the enemy attacked your soul. And you find yourself spiritually dry. Pastors, maybe church members let you down. Staff, maybe the faculty let you down. Students, maybe the teachers let you down. president. Maybe the individuals let you down. Maybe your friends turned their back on you. Family members have forsaken you. Your faith is not what it should be. Your finances are depleted. Can't pay your car note. Can't pay your house note. Can't pay your tuition. Can't pay your gas bill. Can't pay your light bill. Can't pay your phone bill. As a matter of fact, things are so bad in your life right now, you can't even pay attention. That's pretty bad, Dr. John. And we sit here this morning dry, brittle, broken. Brother Jim, we have no vim, we have no vigor, we have no vitality. Consequently, if the truth were told, we find our spiritual lives on automatic pilot. We just go through the motions. We've been doing it since we were kids. We know the songs by memory. We know the prayers by memory. We know the scriptures by memory. We know when to stand up. We know when to sit down. Our spiritual lives are on automatic pilot. Our smile is plastic. Our laughter is pretentious. Our witness is a thing of the past. We're just going through the motions. And now we find ourselves at this point in our spiritual lives, smiling on the outside, but deep on the inside where nobody can see but God. We're dry. We're brittle. We're passionless. Well, guess what, my brothers and my sisters? You are in the right place at the right time. You're not here by accident. You're here by providence. You're not here by chance. You're here by God's church. For this service is a prelude to revival in your life. For in this sermon today, this sermon is for every last one of us here on today. It's not just for the men. It's for the masses. Not just for the ladies. It's for the laity. Not just for the teenagers. It's for all ages. Not just for the students. It's for the staff. Because the fact of the matter is we all stand in need of a revival. We all stand in need of restoration. Shout out, we all stand in need of rejuvenation. We all stand in need of renewal. We all stand in need of God doing something new and reviving our hearts and in our lives, just like David preaches and staff in our text. Now, what I find out so amazing about this text is that David and God, Dr. Roberts, were at one time like this. God said that David was a man after his own heart. God said that David was the apple of his eye. David and God were like this. David and God were tight. They were close. They had fellowship. They had communion with you. And I can prove to you that David and God were close. They were tight because if you look at Psalms 23, which is pretty my favorite. I was asking Charlotte this morning what was her favorite song. Mine is Psalms 23. And it's because of how close David and God was. And if you look at Psalms 23, it's a personal testimony, brothers and sisters, how close David and God. Listen to David's personal testimony to how close he and God was. Listen to what he said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still. I don't care what he does for nothing. David took that. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name. He said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, God, art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And isn't that personal? David and God had a personal relationship, yet here, just a few chapters later, David is saying, I'm dry. I'm a brittle. How did it happen? And what would it take, Jones, for David to get back right with God? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, professors, teachers, and students, I want to show you this morning four things that must happen in our lives if revival is going to take place in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our homes, in our ministry on this campus. Four things that must happen if revival is going to happen in your life. Four things that led to revival in David's life. And four things that will lead to restoration and renewal in your life and in my life. First of all, I want you to notice David's prayer. Preachers, notice David's prayer. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalms 143. David said, hear my prayer, O Lord.
Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is right. Dr. Jones, listen to David's prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, David realized his dryness. He realized his brokenness. David realized his need for revival, his need for renewal. So the Bible says that David, listen to me well, cried out to God. Notice, he didn't cry out to the seminary professor. He didn't cry out to the mayor. Then cry out to the governor. Then cry out to the mayor. As a matter of fact, God, enough notice, David didn't even cry out to the pastor. He didn't cry out to the teachers. He didn't cry out to the priests or to the bishops or the elders. For David understood, ladies and gentlemen, like you and I need to understand, that there are going to be some times in our lives where nobody can help you but God. We're grateful for the president, grateful for the staff, grateful for pastors, grateful for our leaders, grateful for family members and friends, grateful for men's ministries and women's ministries, grateful for mentors and role models, grateful for big brothers and big sisters. But all my brothers and my sisters, there's something that you and I will go through things in your life, when I will go through things in my life, when nobody can help you but God. And David realized that. That's why David cried out to God. So brothers, sisters, if you want revival to happen in your life, revival to happen in your ministry, revival to happen in your home, I dare you call on God in prayer. I dare you call on God in prayer. I dare you call on God in prayer. I don't know what you may pray, but somebody, John, may pray, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Somebody else may pray, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where should I go? Somebody else, Dr. Roberts, may pray, what a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry not just something, but everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. And it's all because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. I dare you call on God in prayer. Oh, David cried out to God in prayer. And if you want revival to happen in your life, in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your ministry, on this campus, I dare you. Well, no, I'm from the hood. I double dare you. I put a stick on your shoulder and knock it off. I draw a line and dare you to cross. So I dare you call on God in prayer. But then there's a second thing, lest my time runs out. Not only I want you to notice David's prayer, but secondly, notice David's predicament. Notice David's predicament. Verses 3 through 6, David said, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. Don't miss verse 5. Lord, I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. I muse. King James says, I ponder on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirst. Look at David's predicament. David was so dry. He was so brittle. He was so far from God that the enemy was taking advantage of his situation. Satan realized that he and God, David and God were not as close as they used to be. So David said, Satan has taken advantage of this. You know, his prayer life was not what it should be. His quiet time with God wasn't what it should be. His fellowship with God was. And David said, the enemy is taking advantage of my situation. He said, the enemy is persecuting, Jones, my soul. He see that there's some weaknesses in my life. He see there's some holes in my armor. He see that I'm not what I should be. And the enemy is taking advantage of my situation. So that's why David cried out there in verse 5. David said, Lord, I don't like this because I remember how it used to be. But look what he said in verse 5. Lord, I remember the days of old. It wasn't always like that. There was a time when the enemy knew I was ready for battle. There was a time when the enemy knew I was prayed up and fired up and ready for battle. But Lord, I remember the days of old. Can anybody here besides me remember the days of old? Remember when you first got saved? Man, when you, man, you had so much excitement. You had so, you felt like you can go to hell with a water pistol and do a drive-by. You were sharing your faith with everybody. You were telling everybody about your salvation. You was quoting Romans, Roar to witness it. You was quoting every scripture. Man, you was on fire for God. That's what David said. God, I remember when. I remember the days of old. I remember when my joy was genuine. I remember when my laughter was sincere. I remember when my life was holy. I remember when my testimony was not a test of lie. God, I remember the days of old. I remember when my light used to shine. I remember when my praise was spontaneous. I remember when my worship didn't depend on who was singing or who was preaching or who was leading. I was just there to give God praise for what he did in my life. I remember, Lord, when my giving was cheerful. I remember when I practiced what I preached. I remember when I lived what I sang about. I remember when I walked what I talked. God, I remember the good old days. I remember when your grace was sufficient. I remember when your mercy endured forever. I remember when my trials only came to make me stronger. I remember when I was persecuted but not forsaken. I remember when I was cast down and not destroyed. I remember, God, when I walked by faith and not by sight. Oh, Lord, I remember the good old days. I remember the days of old. But look what he says. But that was before I got religious. That was before I knew Greek and Hebrew. That before I spent more time with you, not to get a grade, but because of a relationship. That was before, God, I started going to business meetings. That's before I had to start dealing with devilish deacons and tricky trustees and cranky choir members and ugly acting ushers and messy members and preacher and pushy preachers. God, I remember the days of old. That before I gave into temptation. That was before I fell into sin. That was before I was bamboozled. That was before I was caught on guard. God, I remember the days of old. But now look at my predicament. The enemy is taking advantage of my situation, and he's persecuting my soul. David's prayer. Valerie, David's predicament. Dr. Jones does a third thing, David's plea. Look at David's plea in verses 7 through 10. David said, Lord, answer me like 2 weeks ago. Answer me speedily, God, like yesterday, like last week. Answer me speedily, O Lord. He said, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me. Can you imagine that, Doc? Here with David and God was at one time close and tight. And David is saying, God, can you imagine David saying that? A man after God's own heart, an apple of God's eye. And David has backslid so far that he's asking God, God, please don't hide your face from me. God, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Look at David's plea. Look what he's saying here in verses 7 through 10. That David is saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, I need a word from you. I need an answer. Look at that. For my spirit is failing. In other words, I'm dry, Lord. I'm brittle, Lord. I'm broken. I've lost my vim. I have no vigor. And I wouldn't know vitality, like I said yesterday, if it slapped you in the face. Lord, my spirit is failing. God, I'm thinking of things that I haven't thought about in years. I'm being tempted by stuff, God, that didn't used to bother me before. I'm taking on things and looking at things and involving myself in things, God, that I thought I was through with in my BC days, my before Christ days. But, God, I find myself being drawn to those things and interacting with those. And, God, my spirit is failing. If my wife finds out, God, if my husband finds out, if my pastor finds out, if my church finds out, God, my spirit is failing. God, I don't like this situation. I don't like being like this. God, I don't like thinking these thoughts. I don't like involved. God, I'm living a lie. God, I'm pretending. Nobody really knows the real me, God, but you, God. My spirit is failing. He said, Lord, I'm washed up, but I'm not ready to be hung up. I'm spiritually dead, but not ready to be buried. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. My spirit fails. I hear the word, but don't live the word. I preach the word, but don't practice the word. My spirit fails. I know people need the Lord, but I don't share my faith. I know Jesus is the way, but I don't share with people the way. My passion is gone. In the words of B.B. King, the thrill is gone. My spirit fails. My ways are wrong. My thoughts are wrong. People that didn't used to bother me before now is getting on my last nerve. There are folk in the church that I don't want to cuss them out, but I'm thinking about it. I even wrote it down on a sheet of paper the other day. God, I don't like feeling like this. I don't like being in this situation because I know the enemy is just taking advantage of my dryness. He's taking advantage of my love. He's taking advantage of I'm dry and I'm brittle. God, my spirit failed. My ways are wrong. My thoughts are wrong. Oh, God, I beg you with you. Oh, God, listen to him, folks. Oh, God, I plead with you. Lord, answer my prayer speedily. God, are you there? God, please don't hide your face. God, I need to hear from you, God. I don't know how much longer I can go like this. I can't handle another Sunday like this. I can't handle another Wednesday like this. I can't handle another week like this. God, answer me speedily right now in a hurry because my spirit fails. In other words, my brothers and my sisters, Dr. Roberts, all David was asking for in these four verses was, Lord, please, sir, just give me another chance. God, I know I've messed up. I know I've let you down. I've said some things I shouldn't have said. I've gone some places I should not have gone. I've hung around. I've done some things, God, that if my wife, my husband, if my pastor would find out, God, I would be ashamed. But God, I'm just asking you, God, just give me another chance. Lord, let me start all over again. I tried my way. Now I want to try your way. I tried the rest. Now I want to try the best. Lord, just give me another chance. And all my brothers and my sisters, if I know anything, Sister Walker, about God, I know personally that God is a God of another chance, not a God of a second chance, because I blew my second chance, Jones, a long time ago, that God is a God of another chance. I read in Genesis that he gave Adam and Eve another chance. He gave Abraham and Sarah another chance. He gave Samson another chance. He gave David another chance. He gave the children of Israel another chance. He gave cousin Peter another chance. He gave the woman at the well another chance. He gave the woman caught in adultery another chance. He gave Zacchaeus another chance. He gave Doubting and Thomas another chance. But I can't speak for them. I know that God has just given me another chance. Oh, you know, my brother, I don't know your story. Jones, I don't know your story. Roberts, I don't know your story. Henson, I don't know your story. Al, I don't know your story, but I know my story. I haven't always been preaching in the pulpit. Haven't always been carrying my Bible. Haven't always been preaching at the Southern Baptist Convention. Haven't always been preaching at Midwestern and Southeastern and Southwestern and New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary and Southern Seminary. At one time, y'all, I was too mean to live, not fit to die, going to hell and enjoying the ride, and one of y'all might have been driving the bus. Let me see if you're in here. But God, there's something in my life that I didn't deserve, and he gave me another chance. That's what I can say without a, that's what I can say with authority. My testimony is I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But Charlotte, the master of the sea, heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. If nothing else can help, God's love lifted me. And that's all David was saying. God, David was saying, Lord, just give me another chance. Please, sir, answer me speedily. Nobody else out can do it but you, God, listen to my cry. And then finally, as I hurry on to a close, David's prayer, David's predicament, David's plea, And then finally, Midwestern, look at David's proposition. David's proposition. Verses 11 and 12. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For look what he says at the end of the text. Jones, I am. God, I'm your servant. Dr. Roberts, I am. I'm your child. I know I've messed up, God, but I'm still your child. I know I've blown it, God, but I'm still your daughter. I'm still your son. God, I am your servant. Listen to David's proposition. Listen to David's proposal. Listen to David's plan. Lord, if I'm going to get out of this rut, Lord, if I'm going to get out of this pit, Lord, if I'm going to get out of this mess, if I'm going to get out of this dryness, if I'm going to get out of this brokenness, then Lord, there's only one way. I've tried everything else. I've done everything else. And yet I'm still depressed. I'm still oppressed. I'm still going through the motions. I'm still spiritually sapped. I'm still spiritually dehydrated. Therefore, Lord, I propose. Therefore, Lord, I suggest. Therefore, Lord, I request. Therefore, Lord, I pray. Therefore, Lord, I plead. Therefore, Lord, I ask of you. Therefore, Lord, I beg of you. Therefore, Lord, I call on you. Revive me, O Lord. Revive me, O Lord. Revive me, O Lord. Oh, God, for your name's sake. Renew me, O Lord. Restore me, O Lord. Rejuvenate me. In other words, Lord, bring me back to life again. And that's what revival is about. Revival brings you back to life again. That joy can come back. That passion can come back. That's what David said. David said, revive my joy. Revive my laughter. Revive my smile. Revive my worship. Revive my praise. Revive my preaching. Revive my singing. Revive my teaching. Revive my ministry. Revive my witness. Revive the things in my life, God, that the enemy has taken away. Revive the men in our church. Revive the women in our church. Revive our sons. Revive our daughters. Revive our marriages. Revive our families. Oh God, revive this campus. Revive us again. And then Dr. Roberts, look what he says as I close out. He said, Lord, don't just do it for me. Don't just do it for my family. Don't just do it for my church. Don't just do it for my ministry. Don't just do it for the leaders here. Don't just do it for the members. But look what David said. Lord, do it for your name's sake. Revive me, God, for your name's sake. In other words, when people see the new me, and when they come up to me, it's like when they say, something's different about you, bro. Did you get a new haircut? No. Something's different about you. Did you lose weight? No, I sure, but I haven't. Something, did you get a facelift? Something's different. Your joy is back. Your smile is back. Did you go to a witnessing class? Did you go to a self-help class? Did you go to some conference? You are different. What happened to you? And then you can look at them and point to God and say, God did it. God did it. God did it. Do it, God, for your name's sake. For your name's sake. For your name's sake. And then, God, when you do it for me, you'll do it for my home. You'll do it for my family. You'll do it for my church. You'll do it for my community. You'll do it for this campus. Oh, God, revive us for your name's sake. When you cry out to God, when you pray to God, when you repent of all that you've done, God will bring revival in your life, in your home, in your family, in your ministry, and in this campus. Let it be, God. Let it be. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank and we praise you for this privilege and opportunity that you've given us to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. God, this is revival on the campus of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. God, it's time that we stop pretending. Time that we stop playing with you and playing with others. It's time that we take off the mask. And God, we ask sincerely and honestly for revival in our lives. God, we remember the days of old. Remember when we first got saved, the passion that we had, the excitement that we had, the joy that we had. God, we remember the days of old. And God, we're asking at this campus revival that you would give us another chance. Answer our prayer speedily, oh God, so that revival can happen for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. And let the people of God say, amen.